Good morning, everyone. Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, reading verses 1 to 18. The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you again. Isn't it wonderful to be able to worship despite the isolation that we're in at the moment? I'm just looking out of the window at the back of my house, on my garden, and to the field which is behind that. Usually there are sheep in the field, but they seem to have disappeared. I don't know where they've gone, but usually there's between 50 and 100 sheep. And as I was reading this passage, I was just thinking about these sheep and how daft they are. Now, those of you who are brought up in an agricultural background will be able to explain that they're not daft, but to me, they just seem so crazy. Usually, they are all feeding and facing in the same direction. One day, a couple of weeks ago, I noticed that three or four of them were straying down to the bottom of the field, where there are just the highest fences and the highest hedges. And gradually, the whole flock, probably about 80, followed them into this corner. And then all of a sudden, they turned around and went back, one after the other. And then a couple of days later, I was out in the garden, and there was this prolonged baa, baa, baa. And it just went on and on and on. So I looked over the fence, and here was one sheep looking towards me, and it went on baa, baa, baa. And I started talking to it, and it still went bar, 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 so I gave up on it. What a load of daft so-and-sos. So is Jesus saying in this passage, you are a lot of daft so-and-sos? and I've come to teach you how to be sensible and to have more common sense. No, I don't think so, for two reasons. Firstly, even today, sheep in southern Europe, around the Mediterranean, are radically different in their behaviour and the way they are treated to sheep in England. We'll see how Jesus spells that out in a moment. But secondly, this passage follows on from a rich heritage of Old Testament passages, where God is declared as a shepherd, and his people, the nation of Israel, are the sheep. They are encouraged to follow him. So Psalm 80 begins, "Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph," that means Israel, "like a flock." And then Psalm 23, which we sang a couple of minutes ago, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Beautiful words that we know so well in Psalm 23. In Isaiah 40 and verses 10 and 11, it says, "The sovereign Lord tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Isn't that a beautiful picture? And then a whole chapter that I've not looked at in detail before, Ezekiel and chapter 34, talks about the false shepherds, the false leaders of Israel, and how God will rescue his sheep, his people. So verse 31 of Ezekiel 34 says, "You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord." So with some of these ideas in mind, let's look firstly at what Jesus has to say in fairly general terms about sheep, the shepherd, and the sheep. He talks about sheep pens. And in fact, I think that there are probably two types of sheep pen referred to here. The picture that we've just seen is one of modern sheep pen used for a large number of sheep to get them together just before they are sold. But in Jesus' time, there would have been a large sheep pen just outside the town or the village, where many flocks would be gathered together and looked after by the watchman, so that the shepherds can have a little bit of a break. There are also smaller ones out in the hills, which we'll come to in a minute. So with a big sheep pen, each shepherd enters the communal sheep pen by the gate, and he calls his sheep by name. You know, Barty and Bartholomew and Barbara and Sean and Blackie. They know his voice. They prick up their ears and they trot out of the pen and follow him. There's no sheepdog. There's no quad bike. There's just a man who knows and loves his sheep. He goes ahead of them, occasionally calling out to them or whistling, and they follow because they know his voice and they recognize him. By contrast, Jesus says, the thief climbs into the sheep pen some other way. But the sheep will not follow him. In fact, they run away from him because they don't recognize the voice or the appearance of a stranger. So having spoken in general terms, Jesus realizes that his listeners haven't really made the connection between his comments, his person, and Almighty God. So verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, talking about the sheep and the shepherd, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. So he now switches to the particular. I am the gate of the sheep. And verse 11 and 14, I am the good shepherd. He adopts the I am title, which God, Yahweh, introduced to Moses in the burning bush. You can look up that in Exodus in chapter 3. In fact, John records 7 I ams, and this is just the second and the third in the series. Each I am causes bewilderment and anger and incredulity in those who heard the claims. But each of the I am sayings provides for his disciples, and that includes you and me, astounding clarity about who Jesus really is. Who is Jesus? I picked from our passage three of these realities. So first of all, Jesus brings us salvation. Verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I think here Jesus is describing the smaller sheep pen way out in the hills, and you can see them upon the York Moors or down in the Dales. And here the shepherd could lead his sheep if they were being hassled by a wild animal, or he could settle and protect his flock overnight. Notice there is no gate or door, and this is deliberate, because the shepherd would settle across that opening. He would doze maybe, but he would be there so that the sheep couldn't stray and so that they were protected, protected by his rod and his staff and his sling. Remember David and Goliath? I'm sure you do. So the sheep are kept safe by the very presence of the good shepherd, who is the gate, and they are saved. Jesus clarifies this to his disciples in the fourth I am saying, which Sally will be examining further next week. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. St. Peter picks this up as he emphasizes it to the Sanhedrin when he is brought before them after healing a crippled man. He explains the salvation that Jesus has obtained for us in human terms. He says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The only reason that you and I are worshipping here together today is that we have been saved by the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He is the only way. And then secondly, that the Good Shepherd brings us fullness of life. In verse 10, we get that contrast again. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. I have come that they, that you and me, may have life and have it to the fullness. Fullness of life. Now, in the present climate of COVID infections and of deaths, of lockdown, observed or not, of political tumult around the world and regular atrocities and disasters around the globe, it's sometimes difficult for us as Christians to appreciate that we have fullness of life in Christ Jesus. But I challenge you, maybe sometime after this service, to take time to think what God has done for you and what he has given to you for living day by day. As a starter, salvation, life, now and on into eternity. He's given us his creation to enjoy. He's given us our families and our homes and our possessions. He's offered us faith and hope and love without limit. And that's just the beginning. Hallelujah. What a saviour. I'm sure Jaswinda and Sham can testify to the provision of God, to Jesus, the loving saviour. And the Good Shepherd, we praise God that they have been released from their bondage. For you, if you're unsure about your position in the kingdom of heaven, if you're unsure of your salvation or eternal and full life, please talk to a Christian today, a person that you will trust. The third thing is that Jesus lays down his life. The Good Shepherd lays down his life. Three times in this passage, Jesus spells out how salvation and fullness of life are possible. Verse 11, he says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in verse 14, he says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know my Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And again, he says it. And there's extra clarification in verse 18 where he says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down from my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. God the Father gave him authority to do these things and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So just as the Good Shepherd in Jesus' account was willing to go as far as sacrificing his life to protect his sheep, so Jesus, our Good Shepherd, was able to obtain for all who will trust and believe in him salvation and life in all its fullness. And he did this by his voluntary sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. And verse 17 hints at the resurrection. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Yes. Towards the end of our passage, there is a verse which it's easy to skate over, but which is crucially important for the future of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus knew that his ministry was only going to last for a short time, and that he himself would not be able to go far beyond the borders of Israel. Yet he knew that the kingdom was to be far greater in both time and numbers than that. So almost hidden in here is the message to all Jesus' followers. And he delivered it explicitly later to his disciples when he rose from the dead and he appeared to them on the mountain in Galilee. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And as we read through the rest of the Bible, particularly through the Acts of the Apostles, we see how the disciples picked that up, that great commission, and got on with the work. There is a very interesting legend. I'm not sure where I read it, but it says that when Jesus returned to heaven, he had a conversation with one of the angels about his plan for salvation of the world. And the angel said to him, Lord, have you left the world in good order? Has everybody turned to you now? And Jesus said, no, only a small number. So the angel in his wisdom said, but haven't you got a backup plan? Haven't you got an alternative way for salvation? Because you know that men and women are pretty weak. And Jesus said, no, I have no other plan. I have entrusted these men and women to share my love and my message with each other. And they will bring others, and they will bring others, and they will bring others. It's up to my followers to bring others into the flock. It's down to you guys. It's down to us guys now. You and I have been given salvation. We've been given life in all its fullness by Jesus Christ, our Saviour, the Good Shepherd. So let us follow him. Open our arms to receive all that he wants to give us by his Holy Spirit. and give the honour to our living, loving Heavenly Father as we serve him in fullness of life. Amen.